Good evening. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, folks, don't really particularly want to do this broadcast either. We're just being bombarded with 24 hours of misery and terrible, tragic events, and it's just over and over and over and over and over and over again. Doesn't matter where you turn your dial. It just doesn't matter. I long for the old days when you got your dose of tragedy and disaster and whatever else at the 6 o'clock news, and if you stayed up and watched it again at 10 or 11, you got one more dose and that was it. Had some respite from the terrible things that happen in this world. Not anymore. It's just we're being bombarded. And it gives everybody a sense of hopelessness. It tears at you. And it makes you think that nothing works, that maybe it's a good idea to have a new world order. And don't think that this is not intentional. They know exactly what they're doing. They are molding the mindset of the population to accept the future, regardless of what it may be. And of course, nobody knows what it's going to be except a few of us who have really studied the writings and the speeches and the all of the things, the trail that those who are bringing it about are leaving for us to follow. And here's what's coming, folks. You can bet on it. Take it to the bank. It's real.
Glad you could make it. Welcome to the new world order. Never in human history have so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took it from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want
a new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. The Illuminati wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashists make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold.
You get the stuff. They want
a new world order. A new world order. A new world order. It is a big idea. A new world order.
I'm sure. controls the CIA, the FBI, the ATF, and the FDA. They don't give a damn about the POW and the MIA. Hillary, Billary, Hitler, Marx, and Mao. They want a new world order. They want it all. And they want it now. This Illuminati imports the dope. They create the chaos. Bring us down. Crush our hope. They created AIDS. It's their designer disease. To bring you down. To grovel on your knees. They want to vaccinate your child and give them the mark. They want to illuminate you and keep you in the dark. They want you to pay for it with plastic, surrender your soul. They want you under their thumb, under their control.
They want it all.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
It is a big idea. Anybody know what the idea is? How come all these people are so infatuated with a new world order if they don't even know what it is? Why is it that people are flocking to support all these changes and they don't know where they're leading them to? How does this happen? I have never seen so many ignorant, stupid people in my life rushing to be first to jump off the edge of the cliff. Here they have a Constitution and a Bill of Rights, founded upon a Declaration of Independence, which clearly states our opposition to and duty to oppose tyranny in all forms. And we know what it is. We can read it. We can understand it. We know what our rights are. We know what powers the government has. That is, if we look, the truth is most people have never looked and don't know any of those things. And so they have no idea what they're losing, and they have no idea what they're jumping into. It's amazing. This nation, when it was founded, set man free for the first time in the history of the world. No people ever had been free before this nation was created. I've had people say, well, England was free. England was never free. The English people never, ever had the rights and the protections of those rights that we have. Never in their history. It just isn't true, folks. And then some people point to ancient Greece. Oh, really? Have you ever read anything real about the history of ancient Greece? Some people point to Rome. Have you ever read the history of ancient Rome? Someone could point their finger at you at any time. And two guards could seize you, and one could hold out your arm while whoever pointed to you chopped off your arm. Just on a whim. That was ancient Rome. I've got to go out and meet someone who's dropping off a package for me. Listen to this carefully. Listen to it. And then take care of your children. he didn't get here yet. He was supposed to be here at 5 o'clock or before 5. And that's okay because that was the wrong selection anyway. It was a good one, but it was the wrong one. Not the one I had intended. But we have plenty of time to do that. Here's another Charlie Reese editorial, I guess, from the Orlando Sentinel. Are we really so far removed from the dark days of World War II, he asked. Let me tell you about something that happened back in the dark days of World War II. The German army in 1941 stood astride of Europe, having defeated or compelled the surrender of every nation. From the borders of Russia to the Atlantic, from the English Channel and North Sea to the Mediterranean, the German war machine stood victorious. It is no surprise, then, that when that machine rolled into Yugoslavia, the government surrendered. There was no chance to win a fight. Croatia became an enthusiastic fascist state and set up its own concentration camps to slaughter Jews and Serbs and Gypsies and Blacks and Christians. Albania had joined the fascists and sent a division into Kosovo, where at that time Serbs were a huge majority. About 140,000 Serbs were killed. The Bosnian Muslims, including their present leader, enthusiastically formed a Waffen-SS division. Let me read that again for you. The Bosnian Muslims, including their present leader, enthusiastically formed a Waffen-SS division. So what did the Serbs do? Well, that's the magic. Within a few days after the Yugoslavian government surrendered, the Serb people rose up, overthrew that government, and told Hitler's legions, in effect, "No. Hell, we don't surrender." This is one of the noblest examples of human courage in history. Here was a people, hopelessly outnumbered, who nevertheless preferred to die than to surrender. More than a million did die, but they fought the Germans so fiercely that the German invasion of the Soviet Union was delayed. Hitler later blamed his defeat by the Russians on this delay. It is shameful, in my opinion, that the United States in its post-war decline, led by sleazy people, is attacking the Serbs, who fought with us as allies, to assist people who fought against us as Nazi allies. And it is moronic that people in Washington supposed that the Serbs who defied the German war machine would collapse and tremble at the feet of someone whose ill-planned, poorly thought-out campaign has already led to a human disaster for the very people he said it was designed to save. And make no mistake, this president, famous for his bad judgment by rejecting any compromise, is committing the United States to ground war in the Balkans. The idea that this man, who spoke of loathing the U.S. military and who cowardly avoided the draft, is now willing to put American troops into war against a former ally is really disgusting. Clinton is going to discover, like Hitler, that he can occupy Serbia, but that he cannot subdue the Serbian people. The American people should wake up and decide how many of their sons and daughters they wish to sacrifice for the sake of Albania, once a fascist state, once the most Stalinist of the communist states, and currently the most corrupt and incompetent of the former communist states. When Clinton sends troops into Yugoslavia, it will be pointless to talk about an exit strategy, because there won't be one. There isn't even one for the American troops stuck in Bosnia. North Atlantic Treaty Organization officials have said they will be there at least another 5 years. Americans should also remember that not one single European leader in 1914 intended to start a world war. They simply found themselves trapped in a chain of actions and reactions and ended up in a situation not a single one of them had intended or wanted. Clinton, accustomed to cheap, small state hustling, is clearly out of his depth. He is playing a dangerous game and isn't sane enough to realize just how dangerous it is. Beware of God's ironic sense of humor. The century started with a world war, ignited in the Balkans. Let's pray it doesn't end the same way. Bravo, Charlie Reese. Bravo. Bravo, Charlie Reese. And here's what I had intended to play for you, folks. Someday it might be too late, and so I advise you to take that to heart. This is from the Wall Street Journal, Monday, April 12, 1999, but before I get started, Tim, where are you? I can't play music forever here, and I need that package that you're supposed to drop off. So, I'm waiting. This is from the Wall Street Journal, Monday, April 12, 1999. A federal judge in Texas has just done something no federal court had done in more than 60 years. On March 30th, he held that the Second Amendment protects people's right to keep and bear arms. If this decision is affirmed by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, the case has a very good chance of going to the Supreme Court, which hasn't yet resolved the issue. Remember, folks, what we were talking about last night? The right for concealed carry, or the law for concealed carry, was coming up in Colorado, Missouri, Illinois, and several other states. And this case is going up for appeal. How do you think all of those measures stand up against the current wave of emotion that's been caused by the intentional manipulation of those young men by mind control techniques to open fire on their classmates and throw bombs all over the school in Columbine High School in Colorado? You might want to think about that while I continue. And behind the narrow Second Amendment matter lies a deeper question about the utility of a written constitution. As in many constitutional cases, the defendant, Timothy Emerson, a San Angelo doctor, isn't the best of fellows. During Dr. Emerson's divorce proceedings, his wife claimed he had threatened to kill her lover. The state divorce court apparently made no findings on this, but entered a boilerplate order barring Dr. Emerson from threatening his wife. Though this state order said nothing about firearms, a little-known federal law bars gun possession by people who are under such orders. Dr. Emerson not only failed to dispose of his guns, as the law required, but eventually brandished one in front of his wife and daughter. He was then prosecuted under the federal law, though for gun possession rather than gun misuse. The instinctive reaction here is that Dr. Emerson is the very sort we'd like to disarm, trouble waiting to happen. But when the divorce court issued its order, Dr. Emerson hadn't been found guilty of anything. Had he been convicted of a felony, all agree he would have lost his right to keep and bear arms as well as his right to remain at liberty. Here, though, there was no trial, no conviction, no finding of misconduct or future dangerousness. So when the federal law barred Dr. Emerson from possessing guns, he was a citizen with a clean record, just like you and me, hence his Second Amendment defense. The hot constitutional question is whether the Second Amendment protects only states' rights to arm their own military forces, or whether it protects an individual right. If the state's rights view is correct, Dr. Emerson could have been disarmed with no constitutional worries, and so could anyone else. But the Second Amendment's text and original meaning pretty clearly show that it protects individuals. The text, which is reprinted nearby, says the right belongs to people, not states. And in the Bill of Rights, the right of the people refers to individuals, as we see in the First and Fourth Amendments. Moreover, the Second Amendment is based on the British 1688 Bill of Rights and is related to right to bear arms provisions in framing era state constitutions. The British right must have been individual. There were no states in England. Same for the state constitutional rights, a right mentioned in a state Bill of Rights, which protects citizens against the state government, can't belong to the state itself. So in the framing era, the right to bear arms meant an individual right. What about the militia? The Second Amendment secures a, quote, right of the people, end quote, not of the militia. But in any event, as the Supreme Court held in 1939, the framers used militia to refer to all adult, able-bodied males under age 45. Even today, under the 1956 Militia Act, all male citizens between 18 and 45 are part of the militia. Women are probably also included, given the Supreme Court's sex equality precedents. Quote, well-regulated militia, end quote, in late 1700s parlance meant the same thing. Quote, the body of the people capable of bearing arms, end quote, which is how an early proposal for the amendment defined it. And the individual rights view is the nearly unanimous judgment of all the leading 1700s and 1800s commentators and cases. Based on this evidence, federal judge Sam Cummings concluded Dr. Emerson's gun possession, though not his gun misuse, was constitutionally protected. If the Second Amendment is to be taken seriously, then Judge Cummings was right, and the other lower court cases holding the contrary were wrong. If, that is, the Second Amendment is to be taken seriously. The notion of a written binding constitution tells us it should be. But cases like this lead some to wonder why, they ask, should today's decisions be bound by the dead hand of the past? If we have a living constitution onto which courts may graft new rights, why can't they prune away obsolete ones? Now, I have to interject something here because that is erroneous. We do have a living constitution, but courts may not graft new rights, nor can they take anything away from it, add to it, give more powers to the government, or take powers away from the government. The courts cannot do it. It can only be done as outlined within the document itself, ladies and gentlemen, and this is all coming from me, and I know what I'm talking about. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. It cannot be changed. It cannot be added to, and nothing can be taken away from it unless it is amended according to the amendment process outlined within the document itself, and it must be done exactly as outlined. If not, it is unconstitutional, whatever it is. You see, this is an erroneous conclusion that not only the author of this article makes, but judges all over the country make. And every time they do it, they are committing treason. Now back to the article. And I'll read that again. He said, if we have a living constitution onto which courts may graft new rights, why can't they prune away obsolete ones? These are genuinely tough questions which go far beyond just the Second Amendment and which have been raised in past controversies by conservatives as well as liberals. Let me give a few responses. First, government entirely by the sometimes hyperactive hand of the present also has flaws. The benefits of liberties, however real, are often less visible than the costs. When we see Dr. Emerson before the court, accused of making violent threats, it's tempting to treat the right to possess guns as a nuisance. But we don't as easily see the hundreds of thousands of people who use guns each year in self-defense, including separating spouses who defend themselves against would-be abusers. And I'm going to break off here again to interject this. If the teachers in that school, in Columbine High School, in Littleton, Colorado, had the right to concealed carry, guess what would have happened to those two young men when they started to open fire? They would have been killed by the teachers, and maybe someone would have been injured, but nothing nearly as tragic and terribly bad as what happened would have or could have happened. And now back to the article. Second, modern innovations that restrict traditional liberties are often oversold. Realistically, people willing to violate laws against violent crime will rarely be deterred by laws against gun possession. Conversely, if Dr. Emerson is the poster child for why some shouldn't have guns, he is equally an example of how the law could effectively punish people for misusing guns by brandishing them in a threatening way, rather than just for having them. Maybe ignoring the Constitution is neither so valuable nor so necessary. Third, while some think gun rights are obsolete, others disagree. Since 1970, 15 states have enacted new state constitutional rights to bear arms or strengthened old ones. 44 constitutions now have such provisions. In the mid-1980s, 9 states let pretty much all law-abiding adults get a license to carry concealed weapons. Now, the number is 31. A conclusion that the right is obsolete thus doesn't rest on any unambiguous consensus. It can rest only on the judge's personal policy preferences. Do we trust judges that much? And finally, do we trust judges to determine when other provisions, the Establishment Clause, the privilege against self-incrimination, the jury trial, the freedom of speech, become obsolete too? This was written by Eugene Volokh. It's titled Rule of Law. The Wall Street Journal, Monday, April 12th, The phones are open, folks. What I want to talk about for a little while, before we get into anything else, is where does this notion come from that we can ignore the Constitution? Where does this come from, this notion that judges can add to or subtract from the Constitution? Where does this notion come from that the Constitution does no longer apply? When it is the foundation of the law, it is the supreme law of the land to which all other laws must be in agreement. Where does it come from? I'd like to know that. I'd like to know why law enforcement officials take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution and then violate it as a matter of routine, thinking nothing of it. I'd like to know how our military commanders, the general officers of all four of our military forces, services, can ignore the Constitution that they've taken an oath to protect and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and carry out the orders of an outlaw president who is ordering them to do things that are clearly, without any doubt, unconstitutional. 520-333-4578. Have you got some answers? I sure don't. Maybe you can help me understand this. 520-333-4578. How does it happen? Where does this mindset come from? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
I need you to talk a lot louder.
Yes, sir. I don't know how this applies to the Constitution, but I noticed when the first newscast came out on NBC about this shooting.
I need you to talk louder. You're letting your voice drop down again now. Keep it up there.
With this big shield.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's carrying this big shield. He was carrying all these automatic weapons.
Yeah, that's the SWAT team.
And they turned the shield, and on the top of it, in white letters, was NATO 3.
Really?
I swear.
Well, I have no reason to doubt you, since you are the primary witness. It's not hearsay. That's amazing. I didn't see that. And I was watching, I thought, pretty carefully. But, you know, you can't catch everything.
Yeah.
Wow. We'll try to get somebody in Colorado who was watching right there to see if they can confirm or deny that. And I'll get back to you if we find anything out on the air. Can you answer the question that I asked in the beginning? I want everybody to try to
subvert the Constitution.
Yeah, how is that happening? How can people do that when that's the supreme law of the land? We cannot have laws unless they are in agreement with the restrictions and powers of, granted to and upon the government. Without the Constitution being recognized as the supreme law of the land, that leaves legislatures and legislators open to do anything, to practice anarchy, tyranny, despotism, anything that they want to do.
Yes, sir.
And that's what Hitler did in World War II, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And that appears to be what Clinton's doing right now over there in Europe, isn't it? He's ignoring the Constitution, he's ignoring the NATO Treaty, and he's ignoring the United Nations Charter and all the resolutions that have been passed by the United Nations. Regardless of what we think about the United Nations, Clinton... is violating everything that there is to violate. And our military officers are going right along with it. These traitorous, scum-sucking, where did they come from? When I was in the military, people would not do that. Officers were the most honorable people that I ever saw.
Well, it's my understanding that General Clark is his name. He's an old bud of Bill Clinton's. And he just kind of rose up through the ranks to this position.
He's one of the most arrogant people I've ever seen in my life.
I don't know how he could be doing all this unless it's through some form of executive order or presidential.
Well, it is executive orders. And they're completely ignoring the Constitution. They're ignoring the NATO Charter, which forbids everything that they're doing, and the United Nations Charter, which forbids it also.
Mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling. Where did they come from? And where did they get this notion that they don't have to obey the law? Where does it come from? That's what I want to try to answer tonight.
Yes, sir. I don't know. Maybe it's some dark force, eh?
I don't know either, unless they've just determined that despite everything, they're going to throw it in the trash can because they don't believe the American people will do anything about it and that they'll get away with becoming the new Fourth Reich. Isn't that amazing? You really think Americans don't care at all?
No, I don't think they do. I think they're...
Well, if that's true, we got to get the hell out of here, partner.
Yeah, I'd like to know how to. I thought I knew a way once upon a time, but you know how life is. Sometimes you make poor decisions.
Yeah, well, I've made plenty of those myself. So I know. Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Good night, sir.
520-333-4578 is the number. Anybody out there that can answer these questions or attempt to answer them or shed some light on them? And please stick to the subject and please put your mouth in front of the phone and talk loud. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper. This is John from Michigan.
Hi, John. Talk a little louder if you can.
Okay. I've got an idea on how our Constitution is being subverted.
Go ahead.
Possibly under contract law. They're placing us under contracts, such as Social Security, driver's licenses. And that right there overrides the Constitution because...
Well, there's something wrong with that. You see, under contract law, a contract has no validation, has no authority, it is not lawful, and cannot be implemented. If both parties to the contract were not informed of all of the provisions of the contract.
Exactly.
And so it's fraud. And fraud negates the contract from its inception and makes it null and void on its face.
That's right.
And so that doesn't work because they can't enforce a contract that's based upon fraud. And they know that, and I know it, and you know it. Or you wouldn't know about this. Pardon?
A lot of the American people don't understand that.
Yeah, they don't. But nevertheless, the law says a contract based upon fraud cannot be enforced. So if why resort to trickery in the law if they're going to ignore the law in the first place? Doesn't make any sense to me. Why not just do it? Pardon?
It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, so why not just do it rather than go through all these little silly little games to say, well, you're under this contract when, according to the law, a fraud, we clearly are not under these contracts and they cannot be enforced. I mean, why resort to that kind of chicanery if nobody knows anything about it anyway, and all they have to do is just do what they want to do, and probably nobody's going to object, and nobody does generally anyway. So, you know, I understand what you're talking about, and what you're saying certainly has a validity in the law.
And it's a complicated subject.
Yes, it is a very complicated subject. And many of us, I can tell you have studied it deeply, but it always comes back to the question that, you know, it's fraud. And if it's fraud, it does not apply, and therefore we are not obligated, period.
That's right. When we go to court, we have to stand up for our rights.
That's right. Well, you have to stand up for your rights at all times. Under the common law, if you have a right and you do not defend that right, then you no longer are entitled to that right. That's a very basic principle in law.
Well, I'm just a student myself. I'm just now beginning to study this and understand it.
Well, good. I can tell that you're making some progress.
Well, it was an honor to talk to you, sir.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. What he's referring to is the fact that by adhesion, when you obtain a driver's license or you obtain a Social Security card or things like this, you are entering into a contract to give up your rights and become another kind of citizen that you don't want to be. But under the laws of fraud, none of these adhesion contracts can be enforced. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. It's Steve from up in Michigan.
Hi, Steve.
Let me run this by you and the audience. It's when perception becomes reality. That's the output of the big lie technique. When you tell the lie enough, even the liar will then believe that it becomes the truth. How did they pull this off? It's the media master illusion, as far as you've alluded to on countless broadcasts.
Well, you're absolutely correct.
I got the prize, man.
You did. Did you read Majesty 12?
Yes, I have.
Ah. Well, I'm not saying that's where you got it.
Yeah, I got it, of course, in Veritas. And again, back to John Watson and B.F. Skinner, This is all brought about. How that illusion happens is all by subliminal behavior operant conditioning. And these people never know what hit them. It's just like those kids, those children in the school in Colorado, you're exactly on the money.
I can't comment on the Marilyn Manson concert because I don't know anything about Marilyn Manson. Somebody mentioned that a few nights ago, and I don't know who in the world that is.
It's along the genre of what this trench coat mafia was all about. It's the music end of that kind of mind thing, Bill.
I see. Okay.
I work with a number of people who, of course, I will protect their rights to do this, but come to work in white face, always wearing totally black clothing, painted black fingernails and black lipsticks. And that's okay, man, because we were freaks in our days. I don't have a problem with this as long as we all mutually respect each other's rights. Not a problem.
Yeah. Well, there would be a problem in some workplaces where certain representations would have to be made, but you're correct. It's only when they injure the person or property of any other human that it becomes a problem, and definitely this has happened. But these two young men were programmed to do that.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I think you might have mentioned was that the 20th was Adolf Hitler's birthday.
Yes, well, I didn't figure I had to mention it because it's on every radio station and every TV channel that I've turned to in the last 24 hours.
They are just beating this issue to death. That is just sick when these wolves, these vultures, get in there and capitalize on those people's sorrow. That is just maddening to the point of enragement.
Yes, and they're doing something else that's terribly bad also. They are claiming that they went in there to kill people of color, that it was racist.
Sure, they're playing the race card to promulgate the agenda.
Yeah, there was only one young girl who said that, and she was clearly had been programmed by somebody to parrot that kind of thing, because not one other of those young people said anything. In fact, they said it wasn't about race. It was about they felt that they had been ridiculed and that they were really after the jocks.
Right. And that was, and that one comment, as soon as the media masters got a hold of it, was spread to the point where I saw an interview, I think it was on an ABC sat feed, as far as the black parent of one of the students at the school, who was, of course, black and as well as an athlete, and his father made the comment that he had two strikes going against him, and of course now they're splashing it.
I know. This is irresponsible. It's not only irresponsible, it's intentionally irresponsible.
And it's malevolent in that respect. I mean, I'm just heartsick as an American as far as this last year, and boy, you just have all our kudos as far as trying to bring the word out to people as far as what is really going on. And certainly your track record as far as correct predictions is just astronomical, man, and I thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And not to toot my own horn, but I've got to say this because it's true. As far as predicting future events, I am the most accurate person that has ever attempted to do such a thing in history.
Well, to an engineer, that's what counts. What's down at the bottom edge of the page.
Yeah, and it's not based on psychic ability. It's not based upon God whispering in my ear. It's based upon a solid foundation of documented and sourced research into the plans, the writings, the speeches, and all of the things that these people have left as a trail for me to follow.
Absolutely, brother. Hard research always pays off.
Yes, it does.
Carry on, sir.
Thank you very much.
Good evening.
And don't get me wrong, folks. I hate being right, and I haven't been right all the time. I was right about the stock market crash both years, in 1998 and 1997, to the exact day. As a matter of fact, I was off on the total amount of points that the stock market would fall in October during, you know, the last crash. I said it would be 2,500 points. It actually fell 1,900 points. I was 600 points off, but being 1,900 points right, there was nobody else in the world who even bothered to make the prediction or who believed that it was going to happen other than me. and nobody but me named those two exact dates. I don't like being right like that. I don't like being right when I say that these kinds of events are going to continue to happen because they're designed. You see, as soon as they feel they've got all the guns out of the hands of the people of the world, there will be no more events like this. It won't happen. Not because you won't be able to get a gun, but because the manipulation will no longer be necessary. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but according to Masonic philosophy, didn't they create the United States?
Yes, they did.
As an experiment.
Yes.
A grand design.
Yes, and they even called it the Great Experiment or the Grand Experiment. And they talked about the secret destiny of America. This country was founded upon the propositions outlined in Francis Bacon's New Atlantis. If you read that, you can see that the founding fathers were trying to follow that as some sort of a guideline. And,
okay, if this was an experiment,
yeah.
If there was some, could there have been something placed in the Constitution as a flaw that would, they gave the people the right to protect their freedoms?
There didn't need to be anything put in the Constitution that,
was
that would...
Was it naturally flawed to a certain extent?
No.
Man-made, it would have to be.
No, you're looking for a flaw in the Constitution. The flaw is in the people. The people did not do their duty. The Founding Fathers warned us about every possible human failing that we could have. They understood human nature probably better than anyone who's ever lived. They warned us what to do and what not to do. We failed to listen. We failed to stay educated. We failed to understand the law. And we failed to be eternally vigilant. And then we failed in our courage. And instead of standing up when it would have been easy to stop this treason, we didn't want to take a risk, and so it's gone to this point where people are going to have to die to save it.
Well, that would be the reason why Benjamin Franklin said that you have a republic if you can keep it.
That's exactly why, because he understood that the weakness, the human frailty, the desire to have security and to be taken care of, would somehow creep into our mentality over the years, and we would begin to accept benefits from the government and give up our rights in exchange for those benefits, until we would reach a point where there would be a fine line between being a citizen and being a slave. And we're at that point right now.
Yes, sir.
And they're going to very shortly push us over into the enslavement part of that. And it's, you know, Americans don't know anything about their history. They don't know anything about their Constitution. They don't know anything about their rights. All they know is this fuzzy crap that they hear on television and parrot like some bird on a perch in a pet shop. And it's sickening.
I agree.
Mush brains.
Could I make one more comment?
Of course you can.
My heart goes out to the parents of the children that perpetrated this crime. Not much has been probably said about that, but it would probably be a horrendous thing to have to live with that, more so than having your kid or your child killed. They're both horrible, but to have that stigma attached to you and the guilt that would be in your own mind of where you have went wrong, or...
Of course, and they're going to suffer terribly for this, and they'll probably be ostracized unwarrantedly in their community. My prayers have been going out to them, all of them, the parents of the perpetrators and the parents of all of those who have children who were wounded or killed. And I've got to tell you, folks, yesterday I've shed more tears than I have probably shed in my entire life, simply because not just of what happened in Colorado, although that was a great part of it, but because of the empathy that I felt for those people, because I've lost children. And it doesn't matter if you lose your children to divorce, or if they run away, or if they're killed in a traffic accident, or they take their own life. A parent who loses their children suffers a tremendous grief that is just absolutely impossible to describe. It is overwhelming, and it never, ever goes away. And when you think it's gone away, you'll be doing something someday, and something will happen. You'll get a little sniff of something on the wind, or you'll hear another child laughing, and it'll sound like your child, and then all of a sudden this grief wells up inside of you, and the tears start to pour out, and it just never goes away. And that's what happened to me yesterday, and once again, I want to apologize for my inability to control my emotions at the beginning of the broadcast, but believe me, folks, I was just absolutely incapable of doing that. I couldn't any more do that than I could stop breathing right now.
Bill, you don't have to apologize to me, or you don't have to apologize to anybody else. Tell you what, I felt the same way to a certain extent. I come home and just hugged my kids and broke down in tears, and I think I scared them because they didn't understand what it was all about, you know, but to eat them up.
Yeah. Well, I understand. I love my children, every single one of them, deeper than they could ever, ever imagine. Now, the ones that I lost, I remember them as children, and that's what I love. And I haven't seen them since. I don't know where they are or what they're doing, and I wouldn't even know them now, probably, if I met them. But they are still living in my heart, and they are still deeply, deeply loved as the children that I knew and always will be. And I will always grieve for that loss. I mean, it just is something that, and that's, you know, we've talked a lot about having a broadcast about what happens to fathers who lose their children in divorce. Or they get to joint custody, but the wife still won't allow them to see their children, or moves away to some far distant place, and what happened. You know, I keep telling people we're going to have that show, and I just can't bring myself to do it because I know I'll just break up in the middle of it, and I won't be able to go through with it. I just will not be able to do it. And so for those of you wondering why we haven't done that, that's why. I don't want that to happen on the... Oh, yeah, there's going to be a day soon when they're going to come to take your weapons away from you. And that's when all Americans are going to have to make a decision. That's when the war will start. Well, and if it doesn't start then, it's never going to start. It's not going to start if it doesn't start at that point.
Well, whatever course this takes, sir, I am honored to even talk to you. Because I know that you have done probably more than any American to try to get this country set on the right track.
Well, I thank you for that. I mean, that's a great compliment, and it touches me deeply. But
I mean it with all my heart.
I understand that, but I want you to understand, everybody listening understand, all I've done is my duty according to the oaths that I took when I went into the Air Force and in the Navy. I may have been the only one who took it seriously, but I did, and I still do, and I must fulfill that oath, even to the day that I die. I'm going to fulfill it.
And you're a man of honor, and that is what we're lacking as people in America. We have no honor. We have no courage. We're gutless, spineless tubes where food goes in one end and comes out the other.
Well, that about says it, doesn't it? And for most of my life, I have to say that I fit into that category just like everybody else until I was shocked out of it when I was exposed to a lot of information while I was assigned to the staff of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet that very few people ever get to see. Some of it, I don't even know if the president saw, to tell you the truth.
Well, sir, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for calling.
And you have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not having too many good nights lately, folks. I'm really not. We're in a defensive posture up here, and it requires more than eternal vigilance. It requires active patrolling and lookout duty and duty in the LP and the ambush site and all kinds of things and then worrying about this and all, you know. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Is this Mr. Cooper?
Yes, it is.
I'd like to right off the bat compliment you and ditto as to what the last man said. I agree with everything he said in reference to what you're doing. I wondered if you've ever heard of two things. One is Colonel Hackworth, and two is Save a Patriot Foundation. Have you ever heard of those two?
Yes, I have.
All right. I think I have a respect for both of those. And my other thought is it seems to me that nothing's going to change until people like us take some sort of offensive stance. Does that make sense? It seems like once we've established there's an evil force, they're not going to just stop until someone stops them.
I understand exactly what you're saying, I've thought about it. I've discussed it with on many occasions with the command staff, the Second Continental Army, the Republic Militia, and our determination each time this has come up is that it would be a great mistake. Whoever fires the first shot loses. Listen to me carefully. Whoever fires the first shot loses. We must maintain the moral high ground or we lose instantly any possible support we could ever have obtained from the people of America. And we cannot afford to lose that support because if we're going to fight a war, it's going to be a guerrilla war. And guerrilla warfare cannot be sustained without the support of the population. Well, I believe that there are. I believe that some of the people who are willing to take up arms and fight a war to restore constitutional Republican government under the law will surprise an awful lot of people.
Yes, sir. Well, in the meantime, I say congratulations. Thank you very much, and carry on, and we're with you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I also think, conversely, that the people... A lot of the people are standing up now bragging about how they're going to be in the forefront of the battle and what great patriots they are will melt away from the battlefield and you will never see them. And in fact, a lot of them will turn out to be informers that kind of ilk. The reason I can say this is I've studied history and it's never failed. People that... that people never dreamed would do the right thing did, and people who always were up there talking about how they were going to be the ones who did the right thing didn't. And I saw some of that in Vietnam. 520-333-4578. I will say this, though. I never saw one coward in Vietnam amongst any of the American sailors, soldiers, and Marines that I fought with. Not once. I did see some that made bad decisions and some that, took sides in issues, important issues with the wrong side, simply because they, you know, didn't want to get busted or something. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. Jim Taylor over in Kentucky.
Hi, Jim.
How's everything going?
Good as can be expected, I guess.
You mentioned before, I wanted to ask you tonight, I heard you mention that first shot several times, and I'm just curious as to what you really meant by that.
I mean, when they, if you want me to answer your question, I will. If you want to keep talking, then that's fine, too. But you asked me a question, I'm trying to answer. If an American militia had responded to the federal siege at Waco, and the federal forces had opened fire on the militia, we would have been justified in just kicking their ass and fighting them until they had withdrawn completely from the area. And that would have been the first shot. But you see, no militia did that. In fact, there was just a handful of people down there. There was a turncoat called Hunt who was down there. There was Linda Thompson, who the first time I ever laid eyes on her, she was in fatigues in a parking lot with an AR-15 raised above her head in a vain attempt to raise a militia, and she did manage to gather about 15 brave souls who began to march out toward the Branch Davidians, Mount Carmel, and they were immediately surrounded and disarmed by a federal force. I was there covering the event on radio live from the scene, and that was it. But Linda Thompson, you know, a lot of people have vilified Linda Thompson. I stand by her to this very day. If it wasn't for her, the people in this country would never even have known that something was wrong in Waco, Texas. And the vicious attacks that have been mounted against her are the most despicable, terrible things that I've ever seen decent people to a woman who had more guts and bigger balls than most of the men who ever lived in this country.
Yeah, I've heard on the radio a few times, and I've read some of her material. So then the fact that a citizen being shot doesn't count as far as the first shot goes, then, huh?
No, it's got to be some issue that, I mean, you know, if a police officer shoots or an FBI agent shoots somebody accidentally thinking they're committing a crime or something, no, that doesn't count.
Okay.
That's not an intentional act against the Constitution of that what they did in Waco, Texas was. No matter what David Koresh was doing, the BATF and the FBI had no jurisdiction or authority to be there in the first place. Period.
Let me run this by you. I heard Douglas this morning talking about, he called this situation in Colorado a reverse hate crime. He claimed that, or had some news that these young folks were, gay or whatever, and they were shooting up the white folks for a change.
Oh, come on. There is... Where does he get that? I have seen all kinds of stuff flying around on the internet. None of it documented, none of it sourced, none of it proof, none of it believable. Not any of it.
Yeah.
To take something that you can't document or source or prove and put it out over the air like that is absolutely, totally irresponsible.
Well, I figured you'd know what the situation is anyway.
I know as much as anybody that lives does today. And I'm telling you that's next to nothing.
You can be extra glad that and proud that your children are homeschooled because all these shootings are occurring in the public schools. They're not occurring in the homes or the private schools. Have you noticed that?
Oh yeah, I've certainly noticed. Yes, I have. Shooting somebody is no different than killing their brain. And if you put somebody in the public school and these NEA teachers killed their brain, they're dead. They're just as dead as they would be if you put a bullet in their brain. And they're going to be useless pretty much for the rest of their life except to serve the puppet masters of the New World Order, unfortunately.
I understand they're doing a lot of drugs in the schools. And by that I mean the teachers or the medical.
They're giving the children Ritalin. No, it's to dumb them down and make them receptive to the Marxist teachings of the New World Order. So they don't question anything, and they don't present a problem for the teachers. The teachers are incompetent, totally, absolutely incompetent. They could not one teacher who sits in a classroom full of Ritalin, dumbed down, and pacified students could ever have taught any class that I ever sat in when I was a young boy.
You mean it's gotten that bad, huh?
Yeah, it's gotten that bad. That's why they have to give drugs to these children, because they're incompetent to handle children and teach a class without drugging them.
I'll be darned. Well, that explains a lot of that. You know, I was going to ask you this kind of points to some error in the system when you have only public schools with the problem. And evidently that's part of it. I also thought that, you know, when you talk about leaving God out of the equation, since back years ago when they took prayer out of the schools and they changed the agenda around, that, you know, there's no right, no wrong. And so, you know, it comes down to the bottom line. I see it as who's to blame for all this? Is it the parents or the government?
It's all of the above.
All of the above.
But it's not the children's fault, I can tell you that right now. They are just empty brains waiting to be filled. They are receptive. They're willing. They want to learn. And they're there. And if they don't get the love that they need at home, if their parents don't care about them, if the teachers don't care about them, if they're being drugged with Ritalin, if they're being filled full of nonsense, that sooner or later, see, these people think that these children are stupid, that they can't catch on to this stuff, but they do eventually. And when they do, they become discouraged, and they look around at the world, and they don't see any future. And then they turn to other things. And then their parents and their teachers put them under the care of some mental health professional. And then they start to be programmed. And then they get into these weird cliques and start going to these weird movies and watching television for hours and hours and hours and every day. And pretty soon they pick up a shotgun and go shoot somebody. They were programmed, and it's intentional, and it's supposed to happen to bring about the New World Order.
Whoa.
Let's stick to the subject. Let's let somebody else get in here.
This is part of it. I mean, by lowering the standard of living, they have caused both parents to have to work and be away from the home and the children.
Well, that's true. And then the parents...
Now the kids turn to, like you say, TV or games or drugs.
And they're easily programmed to believe.
So that there's a lot of little things in there.
That the Constitution doesn't apply and many other things like that. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
I appreciate your comments, and I guess we'll let you go for now.
Thank you.
Hang in there, Bill.
Oh, I will.
All right, thanks a lot.
I'm good at hanging in there.
Yeah, okay. What have you decided on your seminar again? Are you going to have another get-together?
I don't know. But if I do, because of the situation we're in, it will only be open to people that I know by sight.
You know me, don't you?
Pardon? Not by voice over the telephone.
Oh, you know what? I was at your last seminar.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Jim Taylor, you know, we went out to the range.
Oh, okay, Jim.
You remember that?
I'm sorry, yeah. Yeah, I remember who you are. Yeah, if we do it, it will have to be only open to people who I know and can vouch for, is not going to stand up and pull out a badge and a gun and try to make an arrest because, you know, I don't want to have to kill anybody. And I damn sure will if that happens.
I'll pray that you don't ever have to.
Well, thank you, because I don't want to. I've gone out of my way to make sure that everything that I do is done in a manner that I don't come into any confrontation where I might have to kill somebody, especially some stupid cop that has nothing to do with the federal government that thinks his job is to do their job. That would be tragic, and I just would just feel so bad and so terrible if I had to do that, but I would do it if I had to do it. Oh, I know. We are on guard. A rabbit, like I've said this before, and I'm telling you, it's the truth. A rabbit cannot budge on top of this mountain or anywhere around it that we don't know about it the instant it twitches its nose. There was a couple up here today, drove up. They never knew it, but long before they even came up the road, they were under observation. They went down the end and parked and got in the back seat and took off their clothes and had a good time and went back down the mountain. But if they knew how many eyes were watching them, they would turn every shade of purple that you could possibly imagine.
That may have been more exciting for them.
I doubt it.
Take care, buddy.
Okay.
All right, bye.
I don't think it would have been very excited for. This is a predominantly Mormon community, and we, of course, recognize exactly who they were. And if the community knew, there would be some serious consequences in the church on Sunday, I got to tell you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
They had a special on ETV last night, an hour special on educational TV, or whatever you call it, public TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on Waco.
Yeah, Waco, the rules of engagement.
No, that was on HBO.
Oh, okay. You're talking about public TV.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And all it was they were showing the FBI agents talking and playing their tapes, and they sent these milk cartons into the compound to give them milk.
No. The FBI did not do that. The FBI did not want to send them anything. The sheriff, the county sheriff, sent that milk, and before they sent the milk in, the FBI bugged the milk cartons.
Yeah, they bugged them, but I think they had said on there that the FBI had sent it in.
No, the FBI did not send it in. That is a bold-faced, bare-ass lie.
Okay.
The sheriff sent that milk in.
Okay. Another thing, that the FBI agent on there acknowledged, he said that they knew that the place was a tinderbox. They admitted that right on the program. They knew it was a tinderbox.
Not only did they know it, but on the morning of the 19th, they notified several hospitals in the area to prepare their units for a large quantity of burn victims. Now, that's long before the fire ever started.
Uh-huh.
So they knew they were going to burn these people out. And that's not all. There were other indications.
Okay, well, then they played a tape of that they claimed was David Koresh. And on the tape, it was somebody talking about pouring gasoline on the inside. Now, they claim it was Koresh who said that. And the point that I raised was, well, if he did say that, and they knew the place was a tinderbox, if they actually heard him say that.
Let me tell you something. We have all of those tapes. We have tapes of David Koresh, and we have put them on a voice spectrum analyzer. It is not David Koresh. I don't know who it is.
Okay.
But it is clearly someone attempting to imitate David Koresh.
Okay.
If you put the two voices, known tapes of David Koresh, and this tape on a voice spectrum analyzer, it is not David Koresh. And a voice spectrum analyzer is not ever wrong.
Okay, I'm glad to know that, because then they lied again.
They have lied so many times, it's pathetic.
I mean, public broadcasting lied by putting that on them.
Well, public broadcasting is not lying. What they're doing is going and interviewing the FBI and taking the evidence that the FBI convinces them is true, and they're airing it. They're not. I don't believe that they're intentionally lying.
Okay.
They're trying to present a program, and they go and interview and gather this evidence, and they believe what they're told by the authorities, because Americans are trained to believe the authorities. They never question it. PBS did not put these voices on a voice spectrum analyzer. I can guarantee you they didn't do it.
Okay.
They just accepted what the FBI told them. And the FBI and the BATF and just about anybody in any agency of government has been proven over the last 10 years to be the biggest liars that have ever crawled across the face of this earth.
Yep. Well, another interesting thing, and I'll let somebody else get on, was that they did do a film of Koresh on the inside, a video that he sent out. They showed it.
Yeah.
And he didn't. One interesting thing about him is he didn't appear to be the least bit afraid of them.
He wasn't.
I'd never seen him personally before last night.
He wasn't. Do you think if they were afraid, they would have put up the fight that they put up? In the initial firefight, they beat the BATF. The BATF surrendered. They all stood up, put their hands in the air, and backed away from Mount Carmel because they had been so decimated.
They could have taken the rest of them out? If they wanted to?
They could have. The Branch Davidians could have killed every single man and woman there that belonged to the BATF.
Yeah, so it sounds to me like they were merciful to them.
They were merciful to them. They allowed them to come in and remove their dead and wounded. They kept them covered at all times, but they allowed them to do it. Guess what? After they did that, they asked for medical supplies and milk for the children. Guess what the BATF told them? No. No. They told him no.
And
if it hadn't have been for the sheriff, the children would not have had any milk. It was the sheriff that sent that milk in, you lying FBI scum-sucking traitors. How dare you take credit for what the sheriff did? That just makes me so angry. I'm telling you, I hate these liars. I just can't stand them. I am sick of them.
sick of the situation too. And is it really true that when that when the place went up in flames, that there were people applauding? I mean, from VATF or
yes,
there were people literally applauding.
Not only applauding, but we have videotape of them with their hands in the air, bowing to the flames, like worshiping.
Right.
While these people were burning, like they were some kind of sacrifice to some pagan god, and that might have been exactly what they were.
Well, yeah, I agree with you, and I don't care what people out there believe, as long as they're not harming me. You know, they could be real nuts, they could believe that they're God or whatever they want to believe.
Who cares?
But as long as they're not harming me, I have no business messing with them.
That's right.
And the government, you know, I remember when we're in Randy Weaver's situation, I was listening on shortwave, and the regular media, they wouldn't cover it. They would not give us any news on it.
That's right, because they had been told by the authorities that Randy Weaver was a felon who had killed a United States Marshal. It was all a lie.
Mm-hmm.
The you know what the truth is? The probability is that the Marshal was killed by one of the other Marshals. Because of the bullets found in his body. We're not the bullet from the boy's deer rifle.
Well, what they do is that they tell everybody, you know, this man's a white supremacist, and they use that to justify their actions, and the public accepts that nonsense. I remember when the Waco place burned.
That's because the public is stupid.
They
the public better wake up.
Off.
Because whatever they used against Randy Weaver, whatever they use against me, whatever they use against the Branch Davidians, however they brainwash the public to accept the deaths of those people, they could also do it to these stupid, silly idiots out there who fall for this stuff.
Yeah, they are. They're morons as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, I remember I was finished with Rush Limbaugh after that, because this man got on the radio and he just bashed David Koresh as some kind of freak, some kind of nut. And Rush Limbaugh supported the government's action. I don't know if you heard it.
Yes, I heard it.
But he did.
Yeah.
And I pretty much, from that point on, I'm finished with Rush Limbaugh. I don't listen to the man. I have no interest in listening to the man after that.
Did you hear what Paul Harvey did?
No, I didn't.
During the Randy Weaver debacle, the FBI sent a robot up to the Weaver cabin. This robot had a phone on it. And Paul Harvey, during his broadcast, was telling Randy Weaver to reach out the window and pick up the phone. And he kept telling Randy Weaver to do this, that there's a robot out there. It's not a person. There's no weapons. There's nobody going to shoot you, anything like that. Reach out and pick up the phone. What Paul Harvey didn't know is he was being used. On this robot, built into this robot, was a shotgun.
Oh, wow.
If Randy Weaver had reached out and picked up that phone, that shotgun would have blown his arm off.
And they used Paul Harvey.
They used Paul Harvey to try to get him to do that. Fortunately, Randy Weaver was not that stupid, and he did not do it. And so that attempt failed. This all came out in the trial. It's in the trial transcript. It's in the defense of Randy Weaver, which I read all of these documents over the air.
Yep.
Over the air, I read them, and it's all documented in there. And then after it was all over, Randy Weaver was found not guilty of any of the crimes that he had been accused of.
Yeah, but I wouldn't care, even if the man was a white supremacist, and I'm not saying he is, but even if he was.
It doesn't matter. As long as
he's not hurting somebody.
That's right.
They have no business messing with the man.
Ah, but you see, in the future New World Order, that's a thought crime. And there won't just be crimes against your neighbor or against your neighbor's property. There will be thought crimes. In fact, today's there's thought crimes. That's what they tried to demonize him with. That's how they demonized the Branch Davidians. And the Americans buy it. The stupid sheeple buy it.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to let somebody else get on. Have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. You know what? When I first began this program, I used to get the stupidest calls you ever heard in your life. And over the years, they got better and better, but they're better now than they've ever, ever been, which tells me that there's a great awakening occurring. I just hope it's not too late. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Good evening, Bill. This is Bill calling you from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah. So, number one, I hope you got my
We've got tons and tons of orders, and I got to tell you, we've got so many orders, it's going to take quite a while before any of you get them, but everybody will get their order unless they kill me in the meantime. Well, and then I'm not responsible.
If you're getting all these orders, maybe you can keep your head above water that way, you know?
Well, we're trying.
Hey, listen, I got a couple of things I want to lay on you here. You know, you've been talking about the conditioning through television and other media sources.
Mm-hmm.
I was noticing here, I was looking through the TV guide, and there's a show coming on this Thursday. I don't know the nature of the show, although it's coming on Fox, okay? And it's called Fox Files. And the title that they've got in the TV guide that I have says Young Bomb Makers.
Oh, that's really neat. And they'll probably tell them how to do it, too, during that show.
It's just weird it would coincide with this shooting where they, you know, where they had to...
Of course it's weird. I mean, how did that coincidence happen?
I don't know.
You know, just all of a sudden...
CBS reported tonight that the NRA is going to scale back their meeting in Denver this year.
The NRA is nothing but a bunch of puke-faced cowards that have been giving away our gun rights over the years little by little. They are not on our side. I've said that for years. I have told you to get out of the NRA and join Gun Owners of America. I've said it a million times on this broadcast. Bail out of the NRA.
Yeah,
they are not protecting our rights. They don't want to protect our rights. They're not going to protect our rights. They're going to give away our rights little by little by little. And they think they're, you know, they tell us that, you know, this is what we got to do to save this, you know, to save this gun right. We got to compromise on this. You don't have to compromise on anything. And I'll tell you something else. The NRA has been selling their membership list for many, many years. They tell you that they won't give it to the government. They're right. They don't give it to the government, but they'll sell it to anybody who wants to buy it.
Well, I've heard from a friend of mine who does a lot of research on the gun culture. He says that the NRA is actually somehow affiliated with the UN. I don't know. I haven't seen.
Well, they are affiliated with the UN, but that only occurred about 2 years ago, and I read the whole thing on this broadcast.
I wish I'd been able to get your broadcast in, but I didn't even know about it, although I'd heard your name floating around. I've been in the shortwave about 3 years now.
Well, everybody who's been listening to this broadcast since I've come on the air knows that this is the first source of every true news report that there is that needs to be heard by the American people, and it's the only place that you can count on where I will never intentionally tell you anything that's false. And if you find out that I made a mistake and did say something that's wrong, and you either write to me or call me and give me the information that I can prove that you're right, I'll get on the air and reverse myself instantly and make sure that everybody understands what the truth is.
Well, I tell you, Bill, we really appreciate you doing your work out there because it's a staggering amount of information that you've compiled, you know? And like myself and so many other people, we're all on a learning curve, you know, and hopefully enough of us will wake up. But this thing with the gun rights is just totally out of control.
Yeah, it is.
And, I wish the best for all of us in all this. And lastly, I'd like to say for anybody else listening down in Fayetteville, Fort Bragg, my friends Mike and Buck that listen to you and have called, we're trying to get some listenership up around here for you.
Good.
So you take care.
You know, one of the best ways to do that is... buy a shortwave radio and give it to a young person. You know, don't just try to turn on people that are adults. Remember, the future belongs to the young people. And if they don't know what the hell's going on, how can they take control of their future? We're all going to zip off into the Netherlands here pretty soon. My God, I'm 55 years old. Or will be pretty soon. I'm either 54 or 55. I'm not sure exactly which. I have to sit down and count it up. But you see, I don't have a whole lot longer to live. And if the federal government has anything to say about it, I might be dead tomorrow. And I can guarantee you, they wish I was. They wish I was already dead. Because I'm the biggest thorn in their side. You see, the biggest enemy of Bill Clinton and the New World Order is truth. And this is about the only place in the world that you get it. It's right here on the Hour of the Time. Now, I'm not telling you that there's not truth out there. To catch flies, you've got to use some honey. And which means that just about everybody, you're going to find some truth coming out of just about everybody else's mouth, but you're also going to find a lot of rumor, a lot of unsubstantiated bullshit, a lot of mystical, superstitious crap, and a lot of lies, disinformation, misinformation, and a whole bunch of other stuff. But to catch you, they got to give you just enough truth so that you bite into it and you believe the rest of it. On this broadcast, I tell you right up front, listen to everybody, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research, and that includes every word that comes out of my mouth. Every single word. And if you're out there blindly believing what I'm telling you, you're a fool. How do you know I'm not the enemy? How do you know I'm not leading you down the garden path? How do you know I'm not lying to you unless you get off your lazy butt and do the research? And it's easy to do. And in most cases, I give you all the sites you need to discover it. So there's really no excuse if you don't. And that's why we get calls from people all the time that say, you know, I thought you were full of crap, but then I went to the library and I looked up a few things and I found out they were right. So I traveled 50 miles to the Federal Depository Library and I looked in there and boy, what I found just made me sick. You were right. And now I'm scared. What are we going to do? And that's what you have to do, folks. You see, blindly trusting in somebody else to tell you the truth is how we got to this point in history. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Bob from the compound in New Jersey.
Hi, Bob. What do you mean, compound?
More than one building is a compound.
Oh, okay.
Reno describes it, if you have a barn and any outbuildings, it becomes a compound.
I see. And a compound, of course, is an evil thing where evil patriots do their evil work against the government and the poor sheeple of the world.
Well, it's only, you know, a house.
And of course, if you're in a compound, you're a white supremacist.
Of course.
Of course.
No doubt.
Yeah, and you have machine guns and probably...
No, sir, I do not.
But if you live in a compound, you must. According to the...
I have nothing that's illegal as far as the ATF is concerned.
Oh, I'm playing with you. I'm playing the federal game.
Last night you had like a very paranoid woman call about homeschooling in New Jersey.
She wasn't paranoid. She was very upset, very emotional, and at first I thought she had called in order to really ask me some questions. Then later I realized that she was just venting steam, and she needed to get all that off her chest, and she just did it on this broadcast.
Well, believe me, I hope she's listening tonight. She has every right to homeschool her children in New Jersey. There's no law that says you cannot do that in New Jersey.
Well, you see, she thought there was, and I don't know why she thought that, and that's why I told her that she needed to go look in the law before she jumped to those conclusions.
Well, the key word to that is research, research, research.
Yeah, but a lot of people, you know, that's work, and you
evidently
know...
Evidently, she hasn't done that, but...
it's work.
She was worried about the examinations. What you have is... you go through what they call K through 8th grade, which is kindergarten through 8th grade, and at that point, you have to take an examination, which
just places the child in the grade they should be in.
Right, and it...
According to the state's standards, and in most cases, most homeschooled children advance 2 or 3 grades at that point.
The kids that are homeschooled
children
excel in these tests. I'm sorry, children. They excel when they go to take the K through 8th grade test. The children excel much beyond the kids in the public school.
Children.
Children, children, children.
Thank you.
And the same way when they get to high school.
You're going to get me in deep trouble with my...
Not afraid you're a 12th grade.
You're going to get me in deep trouble with my daughter if you keep saying that word. You know that, don't you?
Children?
No, the other word.
I will not say that.
Thank you.
You know, I've listened to you and Pooh for a long time. And I love that job probably as much as you do. She's very dear to me, as are you, my friend.
Well, thank you.
But
I appreciate that, and I know that she will definitely appreciate that.
Certainly she will. But I've heard her do her thing, and she is very dear to me, as are you. But what I'm trying to... My point is that the girl that was on last night had... You can tell people from different parts of New Jersey. You would realize I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah, but you have to understand one thing. You're really taking her more seriously than you should. She was hysterical. She needed to she needed to vent what she was feeling, and that's what she was doing. She's not ready to go look in the law yet. I can tell. I've dealt with people for many years. She's not going to go down to the law library tomorrow and start looking any of this up. She is in an emotional, angry state. Until she gets a hold on that, anything that you're telling her, I can tell you right now, it's going in one ear and out the other.
Yes, I understand that also, but what I'm telling you is, by her accent, she is from somewhere locally around my area, because... By her vocabulary and her speech, I can tell she's from around my area.
Get to the point, because nobody cares what area she's in.
I understand that, but I can help her, I will try to guide her through this thing.
Okay, now how can she get in touch with you?
She can call me. I'm very willing to give you my phone number.
Well, give her the phone number then, but be prepared for a lot of weird calls.
I understand that. Area code 609.
609-455-0864. One more time.
You want to know about homeschooling?
Hold on. One more time.
Area code 609.
609-455-0864. Now, I did not write that down because I don't have a pen and paper in front of me, like I caution you guys to have. So don't call me to get the number. Okay? Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
I appreciate your offer of help and your willingness to give your phone number over the air, because I guarantee you're going to get some nuts calling you. Probably your phone is already ringing. 520-333-4578, and I hope it's the lady that called last night. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. Why are these people trying to kill you? Would you care to elaborate?
Pardon?
I say, why are these people trying to kill you? Would you care to elaborate on that subject?
Are you a new listener?
No, but I couldn't get very good reception for quite a few years.
Really?
And I never really heard this story.
Are you on the Internet?
Pardon me?
Do you have access to the Internet?
No.
You don't? Okay. Well, very simply, in 1995, about a month after the Oklahoma City bombing, President Clinton named me in a White House memo as the most dangerous radio host in America. He then ordered every agency and government to commence criminal investigations of me, my wife, and my family. And there are federal warrants have been issued for our arrest, even though we're not criminals. We've never broken the law or disobeyed the law. We are law-abiding people. I have served my country both in the United States Air Force and the United States Navy, not just one service as most people do. And I fought in Vietnam. I have I've been decorated with the ribbons with the V for Valor. I have spent many, many years exposing the truth about what's really happening, and I have made some tremendous political enemies who would love to see me dead. Right this second as I speak.
So you actually have a federal warrant out for you?
Yes.
That's not good.
No, it's not good.
Okay, I just wanted to know that, because I hadn't heard that, and I don't have a...
Yeah, it's the truth. Okay. If you're a political enemy, they will find some crime to tag you with. Whether you did it or not makes no difference, and they will go after you.
Well, we do know they're full of crap. Well, yep. Thank you for your time. Have
yeah.
a good evening.
You're very kind. I would have used another word. 520-333-4578. They are liars. Despicable, chronic, terrible liars. And it's just unbelievable that they get away with it all the time. 520-333-4578 is the number. No, folks, I'm not anti-government. I'm not anti-law. I support the government. But the government is the Constitution for the United States of America. I support the law. And all law must conform to that document, or it is not law. I don't care what you say. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Just bring you once
turn off,
in.
Turn off. Turn off your radio.
Will
turn.
Do.
Is your radio off? Hello.
Sure.
Hello.
Is there interference?
Nope.
I wanted to answer possibly a question you asked earlier in the broadcast.
Okay. I hope
could
you
our
can.
Our leaders so ignore the Constitution, even throughout the military as well as the judgeships. Suggested answer, if it could be engineered that those kids in Colorado,
children,
mind control victims,
children,
too hard to
children, they're children, they're not kids.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
Okay, now back up and start over again.
They could manipulate that event. It should be easier to give confidential orders to people who have been selected, because I saw it happening in the military, as those who will do just what they're told and never questioned were promoted.
Yeah.
My asked question to you is, do you sell anything I could buy that would serve as evidence for proof that this was probably a mind control operation in Colorado?
Yeah, we've done hours and hours and hours of it on this broadcast. You can order the tapes.
I'll do it.
And they're all documented and sourced, every single thing that we said.
I'll do it. Answer to you asked a question earlier. God, I can't remember what it was, but I had a good answer for you.
Well, do you remember the answer?
If I remembered the question, I quick remember the answer.
We also have a set of papers called the treason documents, which is documentation of the treason over the years in the law, in the treaties, in the statements by presidents and secretaries of states and things like that, that are official United States government documents mixed with a very few but significant headlines surrounding the event of the founding of the United Nations. And it's 600 and some odd pages, and it absolutely, beyond any shadow of a doubt, proves treason.
I'll buy it, especially if in there is the answer to my other question. You mentioned last night that the plans were to cull the North American population to 100 million.
Nope, that's not. Wait a minute. That's not in there. That's not in the treason documents.
If you can help me, where to go to substantiate.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Will you stop? Why do you guys want to deny me the right to answer or comment on what you're saying? I don't understand.
Sure, I apologize.
You know, I'm going to give you the time to say whatever you want to say, unless you just demonstrate gross stupidity and rudeness. Then I will always give you that opportunity. What I'm trying to tell you is, no, that population culling is not in the treason documents. What we were trying to show in the treason documents is that the United States government has planned for many years and is the major instrument in bringing about world government. And they have made no secret of it. It's just that the people of the United States of America have never seen the official United States government documentation which proves it. Now, as far as the culling of the population, this has been written in all of the United Nations documents. There's a presidential document called, Population 2000 or something like that, which President Carter signed, which outlines the population control policies of the United States government. There is some of it included in my book, Behold a Pale Horse, and if you read all of the publications of most of the leaders of the New Age movement and the non-governmental organizations associated with the United Nations, which are bringing about world government, you will clearly see their plans for the culling of the population of the world back to what they call governable numbers.
That is great information for you to get out to your listeners. I appreciate your going over that. I'm sure you have in the past, but many of us callers and listeners do not get to hear you frequently. As you probably realize, the repetition of something that important is very useful. I thank you. Didn't mean to mess up your program, but when one calls in and is talking with you, you're on the air, we're on the phone, it's a little hard to get used to.
Well, there's no offense taken. It's just that when you call me, expect to enter into a dialogue, not a monologue.
You're exactly right. I was just trying to make my point and get out. I had dialed your number 20 times earlier and gotten only busy, so to have gotten you actually live on the first ring was a shock, but I thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Sometimes I think only Bill Cooper gets it and understands what's happening.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
John from Colorado.
Hello, John.
I want to let you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, I tuned in a little late on your broadcast, but every major gun bill that was going before the Senate in Colorado has been killed today. And I know, and you know, that this was no accident or fluke thing that these kids did this at this time.
They're not kids, they're children.
Children, I'm sorry. And, we, you know, the NRA is going to have their convention in Denver next week.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, you can take the NRA, roll it up in a little ball, stuff it up a gnat's ass, and it'll roll around like a BB in a boxcar. As far as I'm concerned, the NRA is history. Nobody should be paying attention to it. Everybody should cancel their membership. Get the hell out of it. You're wasting your money. They are not representing us. They are not protecting our Second Amendment rights. They don't care. All they care about is keeping their membership, pacifying the vast number of sheeple that might rise up against them if they make the wrong decision, and getting all of those dues payments so that they can have their comfortable little salaries.
You know, that I tell you the truth, I do agree with it. I have not been a member for a while because I noticed that all the compromises that they were doing.
That's right. How can you compromise a right? It's either a right or it's not a right. If they understand that it's a right and they're protecting our right, how can they compromise a right? You cannot do that, which means that is a subversive Hegelian organization which is meant to ultimately destroy our right.
You're right. You are right.
Damn right I'm right.
But the only reason why I brought the NRA up is because for most people in this country, they represent gun owners, and I'm telling you, they'll probably be stormed by every anti-gun person, and the news media is going to have a field day.
That's good. Let them have a field day. Everybody withdraw your membership from the NRA and go to Gun Owners of America, who don't give a damn what the media says about them and aren't getting $100,000 a year to sit in that comfortable chair and don't care what anybody says. They're going to protect our rights. And if they don't, they got me to reckon with. And I'll get on the radio and bury them, too. And I mean it.
Good. I'm glad you recommended another organization, because sometimes, you know, you just think there's only this one body out there.
No, there's not. Yeah. And we don't need a body to represent us. If we understand what our rights are, we're the voters, aren't we?
Yes.
Then what the hell is the NRA all about? Why do we need them? If we're casting the right vote, why are we spending money on these clowns? You want to spend some money? Spend it on the right organization. that says the right things and does the right things, and that's Gun Owners of America. Kiss off the NRA. Bail out now. Tell them to kiss it. Stick it where the sun don't shine. They're not representing gun owners in this country. They don't even understand what a right is. You can't compromise a right. Can't be done. We're out of time. Got to let you go. Good night, folks. And God bless each and every single one of you. And as I did last night, I'm going to close out with this for the victims of the terrible thing that happened at Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado yesterday. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you.